Hec dies quam feci de Dominus exultemus et laetemur in ea. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, finally, after having spent 40 days with Christ in the spiritual desert, which is Lent, after having accompanied him to the upper room for the institution, of the Holy Eucharist and the Sacred Priesthood at the Last Supper, to the Garden of Gethsemane, where we've witnessed his agony, to the court of the high priest before Pontius Pilate, Herod, then to Mount Calvary for the consummation of his sacrifice and his passion and death, and lastly, to the tomb to see his remains buried, his body buried, and also to walk with the holy women, to come and anoint the body of our Lord with the sweet smell of our prayers and good works, we too are amazed and rejoice when the angel says, "Do not fear, you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He is not here, he is risen." The Church banishes all sadness from its liturgy on this day, the greatest of all feasts, and we pray and we shout out the great cry of joy, "Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia." This Easter joy reigns everywhere because, as we pray in the preface today, Christ destroyed our death with his own and gave us life by his resurrection. We were the slaves of Satan, the children of curse, justly condemned to eternal punishment by the sin of our first father Adam, but most of all by our own personal sins. Yet God, our Father, in his infinite goodness, did not want to abandon us, but delivered his own Son to death, even the death of the cross, to redeem us. But the story does not end there with the cross. If that were the case, if Christ would have died but not risen, our faith, says St. Paul, would be in vain. But Jesus Christ is not only man, a man who can suffer and die, a man who did suffer and die, propter nostrum salutem, for our salvation, as we pray in the Creed. He is also God, and God keeps his word. Our Lord suffered no violence in his passion that he did not wish to allow. Nobody took his life from him. He gave it up of his own accord and took it back up himself. Our paschal lamb, Christ, was slain, writes St. Paul to the Corinthians, and by this he has opened the door to eternal life again. This is the reason for our joy on this day. Hic est dies quam feci de Dominus. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, let us be filled with the spirit of Christian joy on this day, joy which must not cease to grow every day of our lives until we enter the eternal joy in heaven. And this joy is not something superficial. It is not a feeling, a good feeling, an emotional, a fleeting joy which would vanish at the approach of crosses, sorrows, contradictions. No, it is essentially a supernatural joy, a fruit of charity, which is therefore a gift from God, a grace that must be urgently requested. It finds its root in faith, and that faith is in the resurrection of our Lord. It is not even yet a simple belief, this faith, but rather a supernatural virtue by which we know God as he knows himself, and therefore we participate in his divine life. We have a window, as it were, into the inner workings of the Holy Trinity. The sacrament of faith, holy baptism, gives us this divine life, and thereby the Holy Trinity really does live in our souls, invigorating and sanctifying our very existence, our daily lives. This invisible divine life animates the most intimate part of our souls. And so it is deep, it is profound, it should be a subject of our prayer and our contemplation. But it is real, and it is important that we realize this on a daily basis, because it is a reason for our joy. Yes, if God gives us the grace to remain faithful to this divine life, we will one day be like Christ, risen to no longer suffer, nor to die anymore. Our Lord predicted his resurrection. In the gospel, the angel in the tomb reminds the holy women, "As he told you." Very well, We are all for Easter joy, perhaps, but there are still difficult moments, crosses to bear, trials to undergo in this life. We could ask, how can we possibly be filled with the joy of Easter while we are sometimes crushed still under the weight of sufferings that seem to have no respite, under the sadness of seemingly unanswered, unheard prayers, and especially the weight of our own sins? Like St. Mary Magdalene, we run to the tomb, we search for our Lord, and when we do not find consolation, we cry out, "They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." But the supernatural joy that our Lord gives us this day does not disappear when trials happen. Like St. Mary Magdalene, we must continue to search for our Lord, for he is close. We read in the Gospel of St. John, continuing the account of St. Mary Magdalene, which we'll read during Mass this week, searching for our Lord in his tomb, St. John writes, "When she, St. Mary Magdalene, had thus said, after speaking to the angels in the tomb, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and she knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith to her, 'Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?' She, thinking it was the gardener, saith to him, 'Sir, if thou hast taken him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away.' And Jesus saith to her, 'Mary.' And in that moment, she recognized him, and she realized that he had been there with her all along." This is what we need to do. Even though sometimes deprived of the consolations of God, we know that he lives by grace in our soul, and this is what matters most. This is what matters most. And so let us do our best to continue to cultivate that life of grace in our souls. Do we not have peace? Let us ask ourselves, do we live habitually in the state of grace? If not, there is our first problem. God's grace is the source of our joy. This supernatural joy is not incompatible with the cross. Our Lord gives us the example. He prayed to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane when the chalice of his suffering was bearing down on his soul and he sweated droplets of blood. "Father, if you wish, take this chalice away from me." But he adds immediately after, with perfect submission, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The Heavenly Father required that his Son go to death for us, and the Son went joyfully with no hesitation. So too then must we, for Calvary is not the finish line, but only the road. Lastly, on this joyful feast of our Lord's resurrection, let us contemplate the glorious body of our risen Lord. He wished to keep in that body his holy wounds, for they are the badges of honor, the glorious signs of his victory over sin and death. This is another reason for our joy. Our sufferings and crosses borne joyfully for the love of God will be our trophies of glory in heaven. Therefore, animated by a deep and supernatural joy, let us praise the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy is eternal, as we pray in the gradual. Following the example of Our Lady on Holy Saturday, the Blessed Virgin remaining faithful and full of hope in the face of the death of her divine Son, and through her intercession, let us ask for the grace of this supernatural joy, which is already a share in that eternal joy which will have no measure nor end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.